item 5 from Corporation Council, submitting an informational update regarding restructuring of Milwaukee Transport Services, Inc. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Morning again, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, Paul Bargan, Corporation Council. This is an update on the restructuring to allow essentially MTS to come, I don't want to quite say in-house, but under the control of the county, so that it can receive funds directly from the federal, through the county, from the federal government. As you recall, there was a resolution passed and asked us and me to look at a mechanism to allow this to happen so that basically when the contract with MTS expires at the end of the year, it could continue operating in some fashion without the need to go out for competitive bids, which is the status right now, and allow the money to come in under FTA guidelines. FTA guidelines require either competitive bids if an outside contractor is used to operate the transit system, or to have an entity controlled by the government to receive the money without bids. Actually, as late as about 6:30, quarter to 7 last night, I was on the phone with the outside counsel, and we finished up the final wording of the opinion letter. I expect to have it in my hand today, later on, and then we can start the process of running it through the FTA, and everything is shaping up just fine, so that what will happen is that instead of MTS's people being the board of directors of MTS, it'll be Mr. Dranzik and his people being the board of directors of MTS. And I think that the changes to, as far as the public and the kind of the county board and, you know, the administration are concerned, it'll be almost unnoticeable, but it'll have that government structural change, and the FTA should have no problem then approving the pass-through of the money directly to MTS. MTS will still be the same corporation with a different board of directors, and it will still be the same employer for the unions, but it will be eligible to receive money directly through from the county, and there won't be the need for the bidding process. This also leaves open options in the future should the county wish to go out for RFP, or should it wish to continue the way it is, or should it wish to bring the operation totally in-house as a as an official county department in the future. So that's where it stands.
Mr. Martin, can you give us the structure of MTS structure right now?
Right now, there's a board of,
I would like to see it in writing, okay, please.
Oh.
Just give it to us.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Bukowski.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the optimism from our Corporation Council that things sound smooth with FTA and everything like that. Well, I'll tell you, in my experience down here, it's never been that smooth. And I'm not asking for specifics. I am hopeful that MCTS and Mr. Dranzik and his team have prepared for scenarios that if that optimism does not develop, what does it mean? Okay, you know, we are in the middle of September. The end of the funding is the end of this year. So January 1, you know, we all know what the issue is and stuff, and the public does not. Again, if everything falls into place, then that's wonderful. And I hope that that's true. But I think that we'd be irresponsible if we've not looked at what happens if that does not happen. And I would like to have some assurances today that people in these positions have actually looked at these scenarios just in case. I think Mr. Dranzik might be the one to answer first, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Dranzik.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we started the process early on of looking at how a full transition would occur. And I think based on our conversations that we've had with some outside legal experts on this, particularly with the Huron Group, who we've worked with throughout this process. They have a FTA expert, if you will, in Washington, D.C., who has advised that this transition should basically go off without a hitch. The burden, and I, this is more of a legal issue, I think Mr. Barnett could probably speak better to, but my layman's take on it is the burden of proof is really in favor of us, so that the FTA, if the legal guidance is there from the state, the structure is available from the state that says, yes, this can occur, it should very well be approved without any issue. I'd ask Mr. Barton to see if I got that legally in the right context. But so I think we're in a good position to hand this off to FTA and get the approval. I just talked to Mr. Barton this morning. I think the strategy that we'll have going forward on this is likely have a face-to-face meeting with FTA and their council so that we can hand this off and give the proper context to hopefully get, as quick as an approval on this as possible.
Mr. Chairman, go ahead. Mr. Transic, again, I'm appreciative of the optimism, okay? And I don't want to sound like Dr. Doom, but our job is to prepare for all scenarios. And I still didn't hear that if this thing that sounds like a for sure thing, a slam dunk, how many times have those phrases been used and then voila, it doesn't happen. I want to know if we've looked at scenarios in just in case. And the simple yes or no, I think, that Mr. Chairman, I would like to hear so that it's put on the record. This is obviously incredibly important to the community. And I would simply say that if this does not happen and we are not ready, then I think that's a dereliction of duties. And so I would like a yes or no answer, Mr. Chairman, from the director, if there have been scenarios that have been played out, if it doesn't come through.
Yes, we have looked at those scenarios. We've looked at a variety of scenarios.
And we're prepared.
We will work through. We've got to work through whatever comes back to us, whenever that comes back to us, and react accordingly. There could be, and we talked about this at different points in time, the need for an extension or further discussion for extension, and we may pursue that option should we need to, depending on the timing of when we get the response back. So I think we have a little bit of latitude.
Mr. Chairman, okay. Again, it bothers me this whole reactionary mode, okay? I think that we've been involved in this kind of work for a long, long time, that we can look at possible scenarios versus waiting for some incident or instance to happen. And I want us to be prepared. And so what I'm asking for is, is that preparation taking place?
Mr. Bukowski, I think Mr. Trans had answered that question, that he stated that we are looking at different scenarios. We're also looking at the state of the outcome of Mr. Barton and FAA will be doing. So I think that we would have that answer for you, and also by board day we'll make sure that you have any other answers. Okay, Mr. Supervisor Bukowski.
Fine, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Lisco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was pleased to read the memo and see that we're back on track with the timeline established in the policy change that we made, and that things, it seemed to strike a very optimistic tone and was consistent with the first opinion that you gave, saying that as contemplated, that it was a relatively simple endeavor. I did want to just get into it a little bit in terms of sort of how the process would play out. So what the lawyers are developing would be bylaw changes that the existing MTS board would adopt, which would facilitate us taking control. Is there another step on our side that we have to is there any reaffirmation of the policy or the fact that we've said that that's what we want is all that needs to happen for us to step into their shoes and take control?
That's really all that needs to happen. As it turns out, when MTS was established, the power to change the bylaws was given to the board of directors. There's not any shareholder vote or anything like that that's required, as there may be in some corporations. So the current board of directors can simply adopt these bylaw changes, which would then insert the county administrators in as the board of directors instead of the MTS administrators. The revised bylaws preserve the board's ability to enforce all the ordinances, policies, everything that you can do now is preserved, called out explicitly, and subject to all of those powers that you express. Nothing is taken away, or it just says everything that the board can do now, all the ordinances apply, all the statutes apply, everything like that. So it's really just a substitution of personnel and affirmation that the corporation is subject to those various ordinances and things. In fact, the attorney said yesterday, you know, there's not a bad argument that MTS is already an instrumentality, but this will just confirm it for all purposes. As you know, for example, when there's a bus accident, the statutory limits on liability already apply, so there's already a fair amount of crossover. But this will just make it very clear for MTA. And also, in terms of that IRS letter that was written in the 70s, I believe, this would reaffirm, to the extent the IRS cares anymore, but this would reaffirm the IRS status as well. So that's really all that needs to happen. So once the FTA says fine, this is good, then the bylaws can be changed.
Please, Mr. Chairman, the system's actually working. In this case, we established a policy and it's being executed, and it seems that I'm very optimistic about how it's proceeding now. So I would move to receive and place on file. I think all members should be aware of how this is progressing.
All right. We do have a motion on the floor to receive and place on file. So there's a disability examiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the hearing group still working for the county?
Mr. Janzik would be in a better position. My last conversation with him was several weeks ago, I believe, but I'm just not sure
that we still have them in the country.
So there's, and I don't know how many supervisors met with them. I did meet with them. I'm not as concerned as Supervisor Barkowski, because I had the opportunity to ask about, you know, what if we don't get this done by the end of the year? And the hearing group told me it's as long as we have been working on this and moving along in good faith. And I personally think the board has a tremendous track record on this. I think we've shown tremendous concern for our transit system and the riders that use the transit system. I think we've continually kept this before our committee and done all of that work. And what I was told by Huron is that as long as we have the ability to show the FTA that we have been working on this and working in good faith, we can get extensions. So that at least appeased me. I'm hoping my colleagues will understand that. I think this board has been working in very good faith, and we've been asking Corporation Council to go down the path that we're currently hearing. And I too am pleased with the report, although I'm a little concerned about how this is playing out. Are we going to get an opportunity to see this this legal opinion before it gets sent to the FTA?
I can show it to you. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but in order to get the opinion from the firm, they had to write it up and circulate it within their firm to their opinion committee. It's very straightforward. It says we looked at the materials we were provided by the county, and based on those materials, if they're enacted as they would be, then we can opine that under Wisconsin law, MTS would be a quasi-governmental entity and an instrumentality for the IRS purposes, I believe it's the language. So.
Well, I'm appreciative that Von Reason wants to be careful with all the dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's within their firm, but yeah. I think we're the client, correct? the company's the client.
Right.
So hopefully the client gets a seat before it goes to the FTA.
Sure.
I would like to know, and I appreciate Mr. Chair asking for the structure. I'd like to see the structure so we understand when we read the opinion letter to the extent we can, and if there's questions, I'm sure we can all call Mr. Barvin, how that is structures being changed, because I'm still a little confused about that. For example, will there still be a MCTS board?
Yes.
And will they basically be continuing in the same manner as they have previously, except we're going to now insert the county in some respects with regard to the bylaws?
Right.
Is the county going to have any more authority or less authority than we currently do over MCTS?
Well, it'll be more authority in the sense that actually what we've done is set it up so that the Director of Transportation and the
Director of Administration,
and the Finance Director would be the three board members.
Right, but
instead of the current manager of...
I mean, we already, I think, do approve the appointment of the director, even though they're technically, I guess, had been.
That's by contract, but this way you've got...
Okay, by way of a contract, this way we're going to be a direct appointment. That's helpful. I mean, that's how that's changing. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's the main change.
So, are we still going to be doing RFPs?
RFPs for placing transit on?
I mean, are we...
Oh, that's a different decision, but that, you know, that wouldn't affect the structure of MTS. MTS will be there with this new structure. Same corporation, different.
Let me ask you in a different way. Can we avoid doing that RFPs?
It's up to you. It's up to the policymakers and the administration as to whether RFPs will be done.
Okay.
But the structure will be there, and MTS will continue, and MTS will be there to operate the transit system until something changes.
And, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to do your work, but I think it would be a good idea to, you know, do a question-answer format when you submit these materials. Question this. Here's the answer in terms of structure change. It would be very helpful if you would outline that in layperson's terms for us to understand this. And I think, Mr. Chair, we should see the opinion letter before it goes to the FTA. We're the client. Let's get the work before that gets submitted. So if I could request that, and it sounds like we could have it before the full board meeting.
I think so.
So it could be added as attachments and received and placed on file, if I could amend that, please. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Well, I have not put that in the record yet.
Is there an amendment to the receiving place on file?
We can say there's an amendment.
I'll be glad to circulate that. Regardless.
Let me finish what I'm doing now. We don't need you in Jersey. You lawyers want to talk all the time. I go outside and talk, but then you run this.
It's above my pay level.
Hey.
I'm not the attorney for the board. I'm just asking good questions.
So about Jersey, we can work on that one. We'll have to sign it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of my questions was just answered of who is that new board. So thank you for that. Someone clarify under this plan if we know if MTS employees become county employees then, or if they certainly stay separate?
They stay separate. They would still be, MTS will still be there as a corporation, so the MTS, current MTS employees will remain just as MTS employees. For a number of reasons, they still remain members of their unions, as required by both state and federal law. By FTA regulation, the unions will still be under contract with MTS, and there won't be any change in that relationship. That will continue on as it is.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, earlier Mr. Bargren stated that under this change, our ordinances would either begin applying or start applying or more specifically apply. I'm not sure that I understand what point that comment was directed at.
What I said or meant to say was that current transit ordinances that apply to MTS will continue to apply. So, for example, there's an ordinance or provisions that say you route changes. Budgeting process will still be the same. Other Brian can help me here.
Yeah. If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Strass?
I board's concerned, the preservation of all the authority that the board has and policy remain. There's nothing within the bylaws that suggests any changes of that. So everything that you have before you today, an ordinance that is, you know, within your authority remains. So the change of the board doesn't have any impact or effect to that, or change in bylaws. If that helps you.
Mr. Chairman, another question. I think that conversations like these, if we were in the private sector, would certainly fall under the category of plotting a hostile takeover. But I also understand that MTS, as an organization, has no reason to not want to continue doing business with and for Milwaukee County. Does MTS as an organization or the directors of MTS have objections to this, and or do they have legal recourse to fight this, or is this an inevitable thing that if the county decides to move forward, it will happen and there isn't an opportunity to object? Could you help us understand the nature of, between the organizations, what we're talking about happening here?
Mr. Bart.
First thought is maybe that's something best not discussed in public session, but I think the expectation is the plan's going to go forward. So Mr. Bain prefers to discuss it or not, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he would say he wouldn't.
So. We're not going to talk about that at the present moment. We would have surprised at that question, Mr. Bain, that you offline, not in the public. Any other questions for the Alexander?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any other questions from the committee? So we can make this very clear. I would like a step by step how we proceed from here. What is about the letter? The committee and the board will see if there's any other options that if we don't have this letter, what the next step is. Put all that in writing for us. So we'll be very clear. Also, make sure we have the structure. We understand the structure. And do the news committee vote on the board. Because when we come with the new structure, the old structure, we vote on who the management directors are, if we accept them or not. And so we do not want to make sure this is on rubber stamp. We do not want to make sure this is not dictatorship. So I would like all the information in front of us. Okay? We also have an amendment from Supervisor Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you were going to also ask that in put in writing that we've looked at different scenarios. In the case that all of the optimism doesn't come forward.
Correct. Supervisor Elizabeth, you said Supervisor Joseph's friendly amendment.
Sure.
If you do have a special friendly, any objection to a friendly amendment?
I'm wondering if we can get all this information, including the opinion, that gets attached to the receive and place on file. That's all going to be available before the board meeting, before the board meeting.
I don't know about the stuff, but I think the things that we asked for the letter and stuff before that.
Thank you.
All right. Now, clerk, please call the roll and receive and place on file with the final amendment.
Supervisors Wyshon?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend that item number 5 be received and placed on file with the friendly amendments prevails.
Mr. Roberts, Mr. Chair, you know that I'm not.